this week on Beyond Stillness, Stories After Stroke. We spotlight wife and caregiver Valerie Hollander. In 2019, Valerie suddenly became a full-time caregiver when her husband Ron suffered a major stroke. Valerie shares a variety of emotional phases, ways friends and family have helped, and healthy habits she's developed along the way. Her talk is entitled, Just Needed to Ask, A Caregiver's Journey. Thank you for joining us for part one, Valerie Hollander's story. Hello and welcome to Beyond Stillness. Stroke offers a powerful, life-changing shift in perspective. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. This radio show, Beyond Stillness, offers an hour of pause for storytelling and reflection. Ultimately, Beyond Stillness is a welcoming environment that reveres the moment beyond stroke's paralysis. Still moments unite humanity and divinity. I'm your host, Molly Bucola. Today we welcome guest Valerie Hollander from Chicago, Illinois. Some of her interests and passions are reading, yoga, cooking, entertaining, ladies' luncheons, and even an everyday dose of Jeopardy. Her greatest love is her husband, Ron, who suffered a stroke in 2019 when Valerie suddenly became his full-time caregiver. Her talk is entitled, Just Needed to Ask, A Caregiver's Journey. Before we begin, we take a moment of pause. Calling to mind people in our lives that may need an extra hand. People who may feel so overwhelmed or confused or sad. We send our thoughts to them today, and we also look within our hearts, our schedules, for ways to step up and serve those who need an extra helping hand. And now we call to mind moments in our lives where people offered us love, support, care, in just the right moment. And we give thanks. And now I'll hand it over to Valerie.
It was a warm June day, Thursday, sunny with clear blue skies. I'm walking home through my bio class at the local Chicago Art District gym. When I arrive home, my husband, Ron, is sitting in his favorite chair, complaining he feels a bit dizzy. While I'm upstairs, putting away my yoga gear, Ron calls loudly, Scooter, call the medics, I've fallen. I rush downstairs and see Ron on the floor, telling me his arm and leg won't move. I called 911 and explained the symptoms. The operator practically hangs up on me, but then I realize she is anxious to instantly send an ambulance. Recognizing the severity of the symptoms I described, time is of the essence. Fire engine 78 arrives first. We live just a few blocks from the firehouse, so they arrived within minutes. By this time, Ron's face is drooping. The firefighters get him into their wheelchair. Now an ambulance arrived. They load Ron into the back of the ambulance. While they're doing that, I grab Ron's nearby wallet and phone. My purse and phone are upstairs. I jump into the ambulance, and we're off to the closest hospital emergency room. Although Ron's doctor's hospital is just 2 miles farther, the ambulance driver tells me they need to go to the closest stroke ER hospital. Now Ron is unable to speak clearly, just mumbling. We arrived at the emergency room. The hospital ER team is waiting for us. They loaded Ron onto the gurney and ushered me to the family waiting room. Here, a social worker and a minister are waiting for me. I give them Ron's insurance information to provide to the hospital check-in staff. I assure them I'm fine for now. While waiting, I call my sister in Oregon, whose husband is in surgery for a shoulder repair procedure. Not expecting an answer, I left a voicemail asking her to call me after her husband is out of surgery and doing well. I call Ron's son in Virginia. He answers, and I'm able to update him on the situation. I called my brother, also in Oregon, and left a message. Now the waiting begins. About 15, 20 minutes later, the ER doctor brings me in to see Ron. He is awake and able to speak. Now many doctors have arrived to check his status. Heart tech, neurologist, MRI test, ER doctor explaining he had a stroke, and they want him to stay overnight for evaluation. My God, what does that entail? Next day, the doctors cannot explain why he suffered a stroke. Ron is in particularly good health. Much of this is a blur, but I do know I received many calls from my family. My brother, who lives in the Pacific Northwest, when responding to my news, immediately said, "We're coming out to help," meaning he and his wife were flying out immediately to stay with us. My sister, also in the Pacific Northwest, says she's coming the following month after my brother and sister-in-law's visit. What great news! Still not fully understanding is what we needed to get me through my shock, or really even understanding the impact my husband's health issues would have on us. Grief. We're now home, and the grief sets in at my realization that my dearly loved husband and partner of 39 years has changed dramatically. Although compared to most stroke survivors, his incapacities are minimal. Continual short-term memory weaknesses and peripheral vision issues. However, they are real and affect him critically. Our marriage has suddenly changed from a partnership with each of us sharing equally in the daily business of life, 50-50, so to speak, to an 80-20 relationship, me 80-20%, Ron 20%. My tears flow often, much to the dismay of my husband, unable to fully understand my emotions. After all, he feels fine. But little does he know or remember the 5-page list of follow-up instructions provided by his hospital nurse when he was discharged. I spent a frustrating 2.5 hours trying to set up the recommended doctor's appointments. Neurologist, sleep apnea doctor, primary care doctor, ophthalmologist, occupational therapist, cardiologist. On hold, transferred to another office, placed on hold again. Finally, talking to the appropriate schedulers, but more often than not, the doctor is not available for several months into the future. Say what? Ron just had a stroke. What are the chances he'll have another? Plus, Ron is a new patient, and I need to provide them with additional information, reason for the visit, basic contact information, insurance coverage, details which I do not have at my fingertips. Ron can't remember and can't easily provide to me. Anxiety. Now anxiety, sleeplessness, and helplessness become my everyday emotions and demeanor. How do I make sure I feel better so I can be supportive of Ron? Day by day, I learned I just needed to reach out and ask for help. The help was ready and waiting. Just ask. A very hard task at the time, but I did it. What I learned through asking was it takes a dedicated team of loving family members, supportive friends, compassionate healthcare professionals, and adopting a dog. Glenn, my brother, and Chris, my sister-in-law, 10-day visit was precious and invaluable. Shortly before Ron's stroke, we had hired a crew to paint the exterior of our house. Glenn and Chris were here to keep the paint crew on track while Ron and I went to what seemed like a million doctor's appointments. Chris cooked and listened to me. Glenn supervised the painters and listened to me. In fact, Chris returned that fall for a visit to support Ron and me when Ron had his cardiologist recommended heart procedure. Brenda, my sister, was also immediately on board saying, no question, I'm coming to visit. Her visit following just weeks after Glenn and Chris left helped tremendously with getting me grounded again. Brenda accompanied me on several doctor and therapist visits, helping me to comprehend and absorb their advice. And even more helpful, we just had fun. Going to street fairs, having ladies' lunches with my gal friends, going to the Chicago Art Institute, participating in yoga classes, and just watching TV with women. She motivated me to get out of the house and out of my despair and urged me that things will get better. I'll be forever grateful to her. My wonderful family came through for us in the best way with their time and love, and I was incredibly fortunate they were able to take the time to be with Ron and me. I learned I just needed to ask for help. Friends came through eager to help, but not always knowing how. I just needed to ask. These friends helped me find better ways to manage my inability to function normally. Finding a counselor to help me through the many, many doctor appointments and gathering the information each would need to evaluate Ron's condition. Another friend found the Life After Stroke Survivors and Caregivers Support Group sponsored by Rush Hospital, a local Chicago facility. Meeting monthly, this group is led by a devoted and kind nurse practitioner. Another friend found the Life After Stroke Survivors and Caregivers Support Group, sponsored by Rush Hospital, a local Chicago facility. Meeting monthly, this group is led by a devoted and kind nurse practitioner with expertise in training and educating stroke care nurses and a caring neurologist. This group not only connects Ron with other survivors, but also helps him discover he's not alone with his health issues. It also helps me understand the stroke survivor's perspective a bit more. Indeed, the monthly sessions are informative and sometimes even fun and joyous with wonderful people who are willing to share their experiences. He even connected me with Molly Bacola, and the opportunity to tell my caregiver's story. Sounds simple, but I was overwhelmed and so grateful for the help of friends and support groups. Just needed to ask, often through embarrassing tears and sobbing. Ron's friend sat with me all afternoon, just talking and sharing experiences. And as important, making the doctor's appointment for me, I couldn't stand him to accomplish this task. Even my hairdresser, Pasquale, was able to give me tips on handling the stress and new responsibilities. He was the primary caregiver for his ailing and aging father, who was often stubborn and unreasonable. Pasquale said, when it got too much, he went to the nearby park and quietly sat on a bench and enjoyed the beautiful nature surrounding him. In other words, take care of yourself. Recognize that sometimes the burden seems unbearable and there is nothing wrong with taking a break. I was lucky to be able to take his advice, enjoy a leisurely walk occasionally through our neighborhood. Hearing birds chirp, watching dog walkers stride, stroll by with their cute dogs, noticing my neighbor's lush gardens, appreciating the beauty of my community. Surely as important, I am incredibly grateful for my primary care doctor's compassion. Again, I just needed to share my emotional breakdowns and concerns with him. He prescribed anti-anxiety medication, set up referrals with the therapist. When I was called for jury duties just weeks after Ron's stroke, he made all the arrangements to indicate I was not able to serve. I connected immediately with Lindsay, the therapist my doctor recommended. We met weekly for several months. Her guidance, knowledge, and compassion helped me immensely, providing me with tools to manage my anxiety and stress. During this time, I often spent most of the day in my comfy chair watching TV while realizing I was avoiding the care Ron needed, hoping against hope that everything would get better. I was feeling guilty and worthless. But one very helpful and easy tool Lindsay provided me with were breathing exercises. These simple exercises worked well in calming my anxiety level and calming my racing mind. Lindsay also provided me with a referral to a colleague, Laura, who could supervise my anti-anxiety and then antidepressant medications. These medications made a world of difference in my ability to handle the stress and anxiety of caregiving. As a side note, during this time, Lindsay was working on setting up a caregiver stroke group through the hospital. Eventually, she convinced her superiors of the need. Along with me, 10 caregivers of stroke survivors were invited to participate in Lindsay's group sessions. Remember, this is during the pandemic. Online meeting software saved the day. Just what we all needed, a forum to learn and share experiences and not worry so much about the potential ravages of COVID. I still read the daily medications from the book that Lindsay's colleague recommended, Hands and Heart Together, Daily Meditations for Caregivers by Patricia Houlihan. Terrific way to start my day with focus and strength. Never knowing when unexpected caregiving surprises may occur, both good and bad. Finally, and happily, Toby, our adopted border collie rescue, provides both Ron and me with countless hours of joy and entertainment. It is a significant responsibility, but one we both embrace. He certainly keeps us active. Acceptance. It's been a long journey, lots of fears, fear of the unknown, change in Ron's and my relationship, aging issues. These are all part of life's journey, the one I now accept more easily. Through the help and guidance of the many wonderful people in my life, Ron and I are able to embrace our new normal. Yes, it's hard sometimes. Using the tools I've learned, as well as the support groups both Ron and I still attend, help us through this ups and downs. We've gained wonderful friendships with the other survivors and caregivers. Contentment. Although this has been an exceedingly difficult journey, I now find I'm in a period of contentment. I'm actively doing the things I love. Reading is my favorite pastime. I participate in 2 book clubs, developing an appreciation of many literary genres, but also forming new friendships. Yoga is a passion of mine. I usually practice 2-3 times each week, always starting with my intention of patience, kindness, and generosity. The meditative quality of a yoga practice relaxes me and gives me the strength to tackle the challenges of the day. I think devoting time to me is one of the most important things that I can do while supporting Ron. Not in a selfish way, but in support to my good health and ultimately Ron's good health. Expert advice says to take care of yourself. Easy to say, hard to do. it's necessary, and I have found it has led me to this contentment phase. I'm happier, healthier, more active, with fun pursuits, and so is Ron. Looking back over the journey, which I truly know how much help I needed to get our lives back on a happy track, to enjoy each other in our retirement years. I also somewhat belatedly discovered that my friends understood more than I initially thought. I just needed to ask. They understood and wanted to help. Through the deep love I share with my husband, as well as through the wonderful help of the amazing people in my life, Ron and I are embracing our new normal gratefully and now much more happily. Our new normal is working well.
Valerie, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It was a blessing to have met you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Valerie. I'm going to take your advice, and for our moment of pause, as we close, we're going to practice a little box breathing, which is inhaling for 5 seconds, hold 5 seconds, exhale 5 seconds, hold 5 seconds. So that's an overview of what we're about to do. We try not to let thoughts go through our minds, but our minds are made to think. Maybe bring your attention to a part of your body, maybe the palms of your hands, and witness how they look and feel in that moment. So let us begin. Settling your body into a space that it's comfortable. Maybe dropping your shoulders down and back. Deciding which part of your body you'd like to focus on for this moment of pause. And with an inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhale slowly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hold. 2, 3, 4, 5. Now repeat on your own with an inhale. Hold. Exhale. Hold. Inhale. Hold. Exhale. Hold. And on your own, and with the final inhale, exhale it all out. Thank you for devoting time and space to listen to part one, Valerie Hollander's story. Stick with us for part two, Valerie Hollander's interview. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. In this episode of Beyond Stillness, guest Valerie Hollander offered her story entitled Just Needed to Ask, A Caregiver's Journey. She shared about four distinct emotional phases and ways she addressed each. She also offered gratitude to family, friends, and the stroke community for ways they have supported her journey to contentment. She and her husband Ron are embracing the new normal. If you enjoyed this moment of pause for storytelling and reflection, please like, share, or subscribe to the Beyond Stillness Stories After Stroke podcast. Again, thanks for listening. And remember, as part of the stroke community, you are more than supportive. You are inspirational.
If you are part of the stroke community and have a story you'd like to share on the show, please contact us. Email molly@beyondstillness.org.